Hello and welcome to Radio SGN, the podcast for Seattle Gay News, the premier LGBTQ plus news and media outlet for the Pacific Northwest and Seattle specifically. I am one of your humble hosts, A.V. Eichenbaum, pronouns they, them. And with me, for the final time, for the last time on this show, Lindsay Anderson, she, her pronouns. Hey, Lindsay.
Hello.
How's it going?
I'm going good.
Great. Yeah, folks, well, this is my last episode as co-host of Radio SGN. And also, as we're recording this, I am no longer the editor-in-chief at the SGN. My last day was tabling at Pride. How was your Pride weekend?
It was long, it was hot, very exhausting, and I am ready to hibernate for 2 weeks afterwards. Very tired. What about you?
It was all right. You know, it was a little complicated, a little messy. It was at the booth setting up at around 9. I was there until about 6:30, I believe, on Saturday up on Capitol Hill. It was great to see so many people, so many familiar faces, so many new faces, a lot of people coming up and saying, hey, I just saw a story of yours on TikTok. We just got sent an article from a friend. And it's great that the community is still supporting the SGN, even after nearly 50 years being in print. So that's always my favorite part of the job. And then Sunday, I got to experience Pride not working for the first time, which was very interesting. I've never gone to a Pride event that I haven't been tabling. So that was really cool. Got to see a lot more familiar faces and hang out with some friends. And that was nice.
That sounds super fun.
Yeah, it was all right.
Love that. I love, my favorite part about tabling at Pride events is always hearing from readers and listeners who come up. And it's cool to see how diverse our readership is, how many people we reach, and yeah, just how important the stories are to people who are looking to get some local gay news in Seattle.
Yeah, I love it when people are like, hey, I read that thing that you wrote and it really touched my heart. You know, like when people would come up to me about my op-eds or they'd come up to me about my letter from the editor that was in the Pride Guide and they'd say, hey, you know, thank you for doing what you guys do. One of my favorite parts was also introducing the paper to new readers, getting them involved and showing them the social media. And it was a good weekend overall. A couple of snags, but that's to be expected, right? Did you want to talk about your dog at all?
Yeah, speaking of snags, Patricia competed in her third Pride doggy drag competition. And once again, she did not even place. The judges were very biased in Patricia's opinion. She lost to another chihuahua with fake tits. I think it was the same chihuahua with fake tits. Although she did have an updo ponytail, this chihuahua. Mm-hmm. Patricia really slayed. Her theme was disco cowgirl. She had a pink cowgirl costume, a blonde wig with pigtails, a cowgirl hat, and I bedazzled her cone for her to make it look like a disco ball. Unfortunately, though, Patricia did choke on stage. Literally, I fed her a piece of a treat that I didn't break up small enough, and she started gagging and coughing it up. And the drag queens at first were like, see her roar, because she kind of looked like she was just doing like a fierce roaring face. But then she kept choking, and then they were concerned for her, and they were like, oh my God, is she okay? And then she coughed up the piece of treat on stage and then ate it again. And I really think that is what did it in for Patricia not winning this year, because her outfit was beautiful. There's always next year, though, so we'll see. Maybe next year we'll invest in some fake tits for Patricia.
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe she can grow her own, you know?
Homegrown.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a disgusting display of man playing God if you forced your dog to grow tits. I don't know how to feel about that specifically, but it doesn't feel good from this side. Well, I'm sorry to hear about your drag queen dog's loss. It is hard for me to wrap my head around. This may be the last time that you and I discuss this.
Oh no, I will always keep you filled in on Patricia's whereabouts and drag competitions.
I would expect no less. Wild. Well, folks, we have a great interview with a great comedian and scientist coming up for you after the break. And then yeah, we're just gonna talk about the news, talk about what's next a little bit, maybe. I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Boba Up is the first self-serve boba place in the Pacific Northwest. It's the only place that provides a huge variety of drink combinations where you can mix and match your drink the way you want it. They're open late night, and they're the coziest place to hang out. So what are you waiting for? At Boba Up, you get it all there. Fun, happiness, creativity, and freedom. They're located in the U District at 4141 University Way Northeast, Suite 103, here in Seattle. We'll see you there! Looking for a fun and free family experience on Whidbey Island? Stop by the Langley Whale Center this summer to discover the marine mammals of the Salish Sea. You'll find unique exhibits including their daily whale sightings map, an interactive ocean listening experience in an antique telephone booth, a blue whale jawbone, gray whale skulls, fun kids' room, a traveling exhibit on plankton, and their southern resident, orcas. When you're done browsing the Learning Center, you'll find a fun gift shop with local art, books, and ocean-themed gifts. Find them at 105 Anthes Street in Langley. They are open from 11 to 4 Wednesdays through Sundays this summer. Check the Langley Whale Center Facebook page for current days and hours, or visit orcanetwork.org for updates and to donate or shop online.
Join the King County Library System for all ages summer reading. Earn prizes for reading through August 31st. Read anything you want, whatever way you like. Get great book recommendations from KCLS staff. Enjoy programs, performances, and activities at your library all summer long. Our free summer reading program is open to children, teens, and adults. All are welcome. Visit kcls.org/summer to get started.
Help Madrona Grace Presbyterian Church celebrate Seattle Pride on Friday, June 16th from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at 832 32nd Avenue for their Pride 2023 Wine and Cheese event. Madrona Grace is a community that believes unequivocally in the radical inclusion of all people, so they invite you to join them for a fun evening filled with good eats, good people, good wine, and door prizes. Double the fun by bringing a friend or two. They look forward to seeing you on June 16th. For more information about Madrona Grace Presbyterian Church, visit their website at www.madronagrace.org.
Joining me today via Zoom is a scientist, a comedian, a comedic writer. She's a friend of Lindsay's and a friend of the show just by extension. Valerie Bentivenha, everybody. Valerie, how are you today? How's it going? Beautiful summer day.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the show. I am doing extremely well today.
Let's talk a little bit about you. So you have a PhD and you're a bioengineer, right? But you're also a comedian.
Yeah, I didn't know that those two things were possible. I think I'm kind of I'll need something and I'll try it and I stick to some of them type of person. Yeah, I'm a bioengineer. My day job is being a scientist. I work in a lab where I actually am right now.
Are you allowed to talk about what you do in the lab? My kid brother is a bioengineer and he's at UCLA, or he was for a while. And he's always like, I can't tell you exactly what I'm doing, but check out these weird tubes. And I'm like, okay, great.
Well, it does involve a lot of moving liquids from one tube into another tube. I currently work as a lab, which means I do a lot of ordering stuff, freezers and incubators. And then I do some cell work with stem cells, looking at how cells incorporate things. Like, for example, a coronavirus. It's not specifically what we're looking at, but like it's the same process.
So when you got into science, like STEM and everything, was this what you expected to be doing with your PhD, or were you more of like a mad scientist, a hopeful?
I was probably more like a mad scientist. I didn't even know I wanted to do a PhD. And then I found one that was applied and let me do basically 5 projects at once, which was a bad idea for a PhD, but I meant when I finished my PhD, I was like, never again, never going to be in a lab. I don't know how many years later, 5 years later, here I am again in a lab. So things happened weirdly.
Absolutely. How does that translate into comedy for you?
actually during my grad school, during my PhD, which was in Scotland at the time, there was a program called Bright Club that they do in the UK and Europe, haven't found in the US yet, where they trained academics to do stand-up comedy and then put them on the stage. And that's how it all started. So 100% all thanks to Bright Club Dundee that I even do comedy. And a lot of the comedy I do is geeky and science related. So it meshes really well.
And you play the ukulele on stage, is that correct?
I do. I don't know how I came up with the idea. I wrote one rhyme once and then suddenly I was like, you know what? I'm just going to sing. And now when I don't have my ukulele, it feels weird. Like I'm missing part of my body. My ukulele's name is Bruno. He is bright blue and he has been with me since 2015 and across the world.
Is Bruno named after anyone specific?
Well, Bruno's brand is Brunswick, and I thought Bruno sounded like it would be the name that would be named a Brunswick brand, ukulele.
So he's got a surname as well, Bruno Brunswick, which is a very sturdy German name, perfect for a ukulele. Let's talk about, I don't know, what do you want to talk about? We got all sorts of stuff. You write for Denatured?
Denatured, I think is how it's pronounced. Not super awesome, but I try to, because a lot of my comedy is about like what I do in real life, and Denatured is the onion for scientists, basically.
I do appreciate that all of the bylines on Denatured are written in academic format, so your writing says Bentivenia, V et al. I read, personally, academic texts just for fun, because I'm a giant dork. Mostly it's about death, but that's just the way things go. Longtime listeners will understand why that's happening. I don't have, it's not my interview. What got you into writing for Denatured? And are you looking at doing more writing?
Yeah, I actually just finished the workshop by Lex from The Needling on satire writing, which was kind of a push for me to get back into satire writing because it's been a while. I'm hoping to do more. I don't know how I found out about them. Pandemic, a lot of connections happened out of nowhere and then kept happening. So
wasn't that such a strange, like I got this job through the pandemic and I lost another job. There were a lot of very interesting connections that we all made from our apartments, which is very strange. I think about this often because my go-to strategy for getting a job is still, you know, like my grandfather did, pounding the pavement and handing in my resumes and stuff. And it works, you know, sometimes, but I don't know. It's like we've almost reverted back to that from the pandemic.
Yeah, I think people want to have a lot more face-to-face connection. But it's weird. There's a couple of people that I know. When the pandemic happened, right before, I just started doing a regular geeky open mic every month. And then it just started picking up steam. I had done like four, maybe. And more than five people started showing up, which was great. And then suddenly everything shuts down. I remember like religiously wiping down the mic between performers with a Clorox wipe. But then I went on Twitch and did Instagram streaming, which is not a good format for comedy, by the way. But basically, me, your face, having to give all the feedback. But a lot of people I met during that time, I'm still in contact with. And I think some of them I met through that. I actually don't remember how I met them, but they're from Eugene, Oregon, and they're coming up and we're doing a show together next month and things like that. So it's been really nice to keep in touch with folks that are just all over across the country.
That is really cool. And you just did a Pride comedy showcase.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Well, it went really well. A few months ago, suddenly had this idea that the NSYNC song Bye 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 shouldn't be written B-Y-E, but B-I. And then decided to do a whole show around it, which for me was a little different than usual because, as I said, I do geeky shows. But it was surprisingly easy to find a lineup of bisexually identifying comedians in Seattle. Who knew? Surprisingly easy to fill a room with people who were 100% ready to see that happening. One thing I learned is that there's a reason that boys bands have five people in them. And that's because if you're trying to sing a boys band song all by yourself and dance, you are going to get out of breath. They tag team it. No, I just did it on my own and was extremely out of breath. But the show went amazing. It was at Vermilion in Capitol Hill that currently also has like a ton of queer art up. So it was.
That's great. I love that little strip. They've got Queer Bar, which I don't go to because of loud noises, but Cafe Racer, which I do go to because of loud noises. And then they've got Vermilion right there. What did you have a favorite part of the Bye 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 showcase?
Well, I definitely don't want to pick favorites. Everyone was absolutely amazing. I worked with a vendor for the first time. Their brand is called Super Clit, and they just put these little cute drawings of clitorises that are smiling on everything. And it is the cutest thing ever. Highly recommend. I guess my favorite part, very like narcissistically, was that I made it through my rewritten satire version of Bye 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 in one piece. I was very nervous. I did run out of breath, but I did not forget the words.
So let's talk about NSYNC for a little bit. Are you a big fan?
Not really. So I grew up in Belgium, and NSYNC was definitely one of those bands that like got to meet later than it would have. I had my cousin, who is American, a year older than me, gave me an NSYNC album. It's Blue. Maybe they're all blue. I don't know.
I know the one you're talking about. Yeah.
And that's the one I had, but I didn't really know NSYNC because they were big in Belgium. So I like all the things I know are the stuff that's stuck, which is, I know I just like did a whole show around it. One of the comedians, Tambor, was like, oh no, I'm in the position. I was going to do noodle hair because of Justin Timberlake. And then now I'm in like some other position. Now I have to dress as this person. I'm like, this was anyone. But they were so into it and it was amazing. And they were amazing yesterday. But I was like, you just said a name that I don't know.
Justin Timberlake?
No, the other. I knew Justin Timberlake. Okay. I don't know any of the other person.
Well, I don't think Justin Timberlake personally deserves more attention. I don't know why. I just feel that way. But moving right along. What is the Belgian equivalent of NSYNC? Is there one?
There was for a while, and they might still do it. You know about Eurovision?
Yes. Like, our copy editor, Rich Isaac, is a huge fan of Eurovision.
You know, they're the kids' version of it.
Okay.
So.
Sorry.
At some point, they started doing it for kids. Every country would send a kids' band. When I was about 13, I don't know what they were called, but it was like three boys. They were about my age, and I was very like into that. And they came to my town once, and I was in the front row screaming and singing along. They came to my town multiple years later when it like they weren't even cool anymore. So it was just, it was bizarre. Anyway, I got their signature. I forgot their name, so that's not very helpful.
They must have had a real impact. Oh man, child Eurovision. Has Lindsay talked about this show at all with you? I don't know how well you know Lindsay Anderson, actually, but you've kind of been around. Lindsay's dog is a drag queen.
Okay.
Lindsay's dog, Peter, does drag as the fabulous Patricia. And I've come to a begrudging acceptance of this. However, child Eurovision has a very, it strikes a similar note for me, and I cannot fully explain. I mean, we have American Idol here, and we have X Factor, and I've had friends and like kids from my hometown on The Voice and stuff. But what am I talking about? I'm performing into a microphone for money right now. I should get over myself. But outside of NSYNC, what are your interests and what informs your comedy?
Like I said, a lot of it's science-y. It's called covalent, and it's just like very much lens of high school chemistry. I'm also in a band because I'm the type of person that does way too many things. And just recorded an album. My band's called The Harper Conspiracy. And they decided to do this comedy song. They're like, let's record this comedy song too. So it's a very serious band. That's the wrong word. I'm the youngest member. Everyone else is like older hippies. If they're going to listen to this, they might get angry. They might not.
If they're hippies, one would hope that they're pretty chill, right?
They're really chill. I don't know. It's described as danceable rock with indie influences as the genre, which I don't know. I find that like, which is everything. But we decided to record my song as well. And then we decided that the solo session would be a kazoo duet. I get inspired by silly.
The name of the band one more time for listeners at home?
The Harper Conspiracy.
And do they have a website as well?
Yeah, I think it's StarviperConspiracy.com.
Are they on Spotify? Or you just recorded the album, so we'll find out.
We say Harper Conspires on Instagram. I know that. We're on Bandcamp. I don't think we're on Spotify. I might adjust it to Harper.
Listeners at home can look them up, Google them. Well, it's just about time for us to wrap up here. Where can folks find you online?
I am on the social media as Valerie_Family, which is my personal account. And the comedy stuff is Geeky Comedy Seattle. There's a website, Instagram.
Are you still doing those open mics regularly?
Yeah, it's every first Saturday at Distant Worlds Coffee House up in Roosevelt.
Great.
Please join if you have anything geeky. I'm very broad on the definition of geeky as well. So if you're like enthusiastic about something.
So you're not gatekeeping geekery is what I'm hearing.
That's exactly the opposite of what I want it to be. So yeah.
Fantastic. And your website is valeriebenty.com. And that'll be in the show notes, of course.
No, I went with Benty for.
Yeah, my website's my name, which is impossible for anyone to read or pronounce out loud. So I get it. I'm with you. But yeah, we've got www.valeriebenty.com. Your Instagram one more time.
Valerie_Benty.
And you can check out The Harper Conspiracy for music and a new album. Valerie, thank you so much for being on the show. It's a genuine pleasure.
Thank you for having me. Such a beautiful day, and it just got better talking to you, so thank you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And now back to the show. All right, we're back. Thank you so much to our listeners and to our guests and the many guests that I've had over the last several seasons. Hard to believe that's my last interview. And with such a delightful guest, I could not have been more privileged. So thank you so much. Lindsay, what are we talking about in today's episode? Got some fun stuff.
Well, our super talented intern, Cameron, wrote a really fun article this week detailing the top 5 queer scandals of 2023 so far, now that we are 6 months into the year. And I thought we would break them down for you, dear listeners, and then provide our predictions for what the next 5 scandals to face the queer community will be.
Okay, so first one up here, George Santos, caught doing drag. Would you like to explain the details on this one?
Yes. So Congressman George Santos, who is famous for compulsively lying about everything from family members dying in 9/11 to his past business dealings, was surprisingly a drag queen. You'd think this would be something that somebody would lie about, being a drag queen in Brazil, but it was actually something he tried to deny. Although pictures came forward proving that George was a Brazilian drag queen at some point. And he honestly slayed. Like, these pictures that the internet has found, I love it. Like, red is his color for sure.
Absolutely. I'm kind of amazed that this is the coverage when it comes to certain Republican Congress members. It's a little disheartening, if I'm being completely honest. It would be nice to be like, oh, this person believes this. But no, it's all I've heard about George Santos is the ridiculous lies he's been caught in. So that's wild.
Yes. For more George Santos news, too, check out a couple weeks ago on our podcast when we discussed the fact that George Santos kidnapped puppies at one point.
What?
Yes, he kidnapped puppies. He was working at a nonprofit animal shelter and he bought a bunch of puppies and sold them, and the checks bounced after he bought the puppies. And then he claimed that his roommate stole his checkbook and bought the puppies, and it was all his roommate. It wasn't him.
Wow.
Yes, it's not the first bouncing check scandal that he's been related in, but it was very, Cruella DeVille-esque. And so I really think that his next drag persona should be Cruella DeVille. But yeah, that's our first scandal, is George Santos.
Wild.
Coming up next, we've got the M&M's controversy. Do you want to explain this one?
Well, this one is so bizarrely in my wheelhouse. As a food thing, a Fox News Tucker Carlson thing. Tucker Carlson recently let go from his position at Fox News, but I love this quote from him. Woke M&Ms have returned. The green M&M got her boots back, but apparently is now a lesbian maybe. And there's also a plus-sized obese purple M&M, so we're going to cover that, of course, because that's what we do. Tucker Carlson famously, 2022, got really mad about the boots on the green M&M becoming flats and got really upset about them over at Mars Corporation making these feminine M&Ms less attractive or something, like desexualizing a mascot, which, wild, bizarre. We've talked about it before on the show, absolutely. But then he's now upset because there's a peanut M&M that's purple that is a woman. They're calling them the Feminems, which is very strange.
That would also be a great drag name, though. Feminem. You could, like, only do M&M covers.
The wild thing is, like, the M&M's spokescandies got pulled after his outrage, and Maya Rudolph took over as the spokesperson. So, like, they replaced their beloved, very bizarre mascots that often in commercials are caught eating smaller versions of themselves, and they put Maya Rudolph up in there, which, wild choice. I don't know. Like, what is her connection to the company prior? You know, why did they listen to this guy?
No clue. Honestly, so confused. But yes, that was scandal number two, was that the M&Ms were less sexy and one of them might be a lesbian now.
And the right was just upset about it.
Yes.
Moving right along. My knees are weak. Arms are heavy. The FDA issued a warning not to confuse poppers with energy shots this Pride season. The tweet that went out...
with warnings of death, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. A single mistake can prove fatal. We continue to receive reports of people dying or being severely injured after consuming poppers that resemble and are often mistaken for popular energy shots. Drinking or inhaling poppers seriously jeopardizes your health. So here's the thing. Poppers smell like nail polish remover. Queer Twitter had a field day with this, and it's wild. I keep saying this. It is potentially fear-mongering by the FDA because a lot of queer organizations in health and wellness, A, have never heard of this being an issue, or B, are like, well, that doesn't make any sense because if you're drinking an energy shot and it smells like nail polish or nail polish remover, you're not drinking an energy shot. You shouldn't be doing that, right? So it's like, what are you doing there?
Well, and also, energy shots, aren't they sold, like, in the front of the gas station? They don't sell poppers right there, right?
They're sold in sex shops, and that's pretty much it, to my knowledge. They're sold as, like, aroma-enhancing. What they do is they relax the muscles and make sex a little bit more enjoyable for some people. It's used often by gay couples because they need to relax the anal muscles a little bit, and, you know, it's just a thing that people do sometimes at parties. I'm not one for them, but it is something that people do, and the combination of chemicals and nitrates causes a person's blood vessels to dilate and the muscles to relax. That's the medical definition of what a popper does. It's weird because they could also be potentially causing more harm than good with this warning, stigmatizing the products and making it more difficult or more dangerous for some people to enjoy themselves or have gay sex. Could be an issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
My favorite one, though, was a tweet that went out by @ByeByeBussy. And the tweet said, "Stay safe, kids. A single mistake can prove fatal." And then a picture of a jalapeno popper next to a picture of an energy drink or a popper. Let's move right along. What do we got?
Well, the next scandal was the Pride Month demons. So for those that don't remember, a far-right political activist named Lauren Wedsky tweeted out a picture of the word Pride Month, and then, like, every letter on the end of the words kind of fades into darkness until the only thing is left in the middle says demon, because if you erase the first three letters of Pride, the last two letters of month, it spells demon. Again, queer Twitter just, like, had a field day with this. It became a popular t-shirt to buy. People were posting it everywhere because, like, it's objectively funny. And, I mean, I don't know. Queer people, especially on Twitter, are just known for trolling. And, like, what's a bigger troll than just being like, yeah, we're demons, you know? It really wasn't offensive to anybody in the queer community. And you also mentioned, when we talked about this earlier, the LGBTQ mafia, right?
Right. The alphabet mafia is something that TikTok, Gen Z, and, like, cusp millennials have taken to calling themselves. Mm-hmm. And so Witsky posted on her Twitter account, Demons can seethe. Christians are done taking crap from the LGBTQ mafia. We're canceling Pride Month, pouring out your Bud Light, shutting down your targets, and we're getting back the rainbow. We will also stand up for our right to criticize your depravity in court. No more cowering, no more pandering. So she's real mad about the rainbow thing.
They're always so mad about that. I think it's so funny. You can't own every color. What?
You can't have the Roy G. Biv situation.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with it?
God didn't trademark it.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what's worse, right? It's like the fact that they're upset about the rainbow flag, or the fact that, like, I don't know if they saw a real rainbow, how someone like this would react. Like, can they actually look at the natural beauty of the world and be like, yes, things are good? Or are they just going to continue to lash out in some misguided, atrocious behavior? I'd love to see Lauren Witzke post about rainbows anytime. I want her thoughts. I want to know why she thinks that she needs to take them back. What are her opinions on leprechauns? Gay? Not gay?
Oh, leprechauns are all gay.
You think so?
100%. Yeah, I've never met a straight Irish person. Fun fact.
Interesting.
I've also never met an Irish person.
Got it. Okay.
But I've never met a straight one, so.
I've met a lot of Irish Americans and a few Irish people. I never really got into the conversation to be like, oh, who are you into? But I do feel like, have you seen the movie Luck of the Irish?
I love that movie. Disney Channel.
Thank you. Yes, it's very good.
One of the best DCOMs of like the 2000s.
It's a terrible movie. I did rewatch it a couple years ago for St. Patrick's Day. I love it.
No, it's amazing. It's like the best pre-High School Musical Disney Channel original movie.
I liked Halloween Town, I think.
Oh, okay, wait. Yeah, okay, Halloween Town's better, but.
Yeah, I think Halloween Town's better. We've talked about that, though. But I just feel like the plot of that movie, there's no way that leprechaun's gay. The evil leprechaun. You know what I mean?
Oh, he was 100% gay. He's into the grandpa.
Nah, he's bi.
Did you say he's bi?
I mean, he's queer. Yeah, he's bi.
That counts. That counts.
That does count. I mean, you know, it's still Pride Month. Speaking of bi, it's in the word Bible. Queer Twitter, at it again.
Yes. I also love about this one that when Mike, our production manager, was putting together this, like, in, you know, the images in the paper and stuff, he was like, should I credit Lauren Witzke? Like, her Twitter, should we tag her? He didn't even realize that she was, like, a bigot. He thought that she was, like, a queer person making a meme.
Right. Hey, we all thought that for a very short time. I still don't quite know why she's important. She's an activist on the far right?
Can you even call somebody on the far right an activist?
Yeah, I mean, they're doing an action. It's like men's rights activists, you know? Like, they still call themselves that. Wild. Anyway, our last one is a little weird and a little bittersweet. We've talked about it before, but Dylan Mulvaney and the TikTok Bud Light scandal. This one got a lot of people really upset.
A lot of people were pouring out their beer, unaware that they still were contributing money to Bud Light.
Yep. Kid Rock bought a bunch of cases of beer to shoot it up with an AR-15.
Which is terrifying, by the way. It was horrible the way that people were treating Dylan Mulvaney, especially because she did not deserve that. She is just a positive force on the internet. She has been great for the trans community, great for everybody, really. I love her.
Yeah, she's definitely a very bright energy.
Yeah.
Not my type of influencer, generally. A lot of the folks I follow on Trans Talk are a little bit more sarcastic than Dylan Mulvaney, but she's great, and I think the sheer force with which the right reacted to this basically influencer collab was insane. They boycotted Budweiser and Bud Light and started buying other beers, saying they're, oh, I'm switching to Natty Light or Michelob Ultra or, you know, Busch, which all of those are still owned by Anheuser-Busch, who owns Bud Light. Bud Light also owns Kona Big Wave, Stella Artois, Estrella Jalisco, Hoegaarden, which I didn't know, Shock Top, Presidente, and Landshark, which that's a lot of beers. It's a lot of different types of beers, a lot of varietals, and a lot of brand names. Hoegaarden's actually a very good Belgian wheat beer.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. You're not really a beer person.
I'm not a beer person, no.
Why do you think people were upset about this sort of shitty beer trying to capitalize on a trans influencer?
Well, you know, beer is it's been highly masculinely coded. You know, it's very much, you know, men's men. It makes me think of my best friend's boyfriend, who is a very masculine dude. And, you know, he told me that his three talking points he likes to talk about are beer, football, and boats. It's the trifecta. It's the holy trinity of Republicans, you know, is some kind of truck or boat or motor vehicle.
Sure, yeah.
Sports and beer. Beer is just, it's an essential part of being a man. You know, you're not a man if you don't love beer. And to take somebody as highly feminine as Dylan Mulvaney, somebody that is a queer icon, and then especially trans, because you know that trans is such a hot button issue for the Republicans right now. I think it was just throwing a lot of stuff in their faces that they didn't want to see. And they had her face on the can. You know, it wasn't just that she was like a spokesperson in their commercials, but it's like you couldn't get a Bud Light without looking Dylan Mulvaney in her beautiful eyes. And, you know, maybe some of them got a hard on for that and they didn't want to admit that. A lot of issues with the Republicans. But yeah, that was, I think beer is just integral to their masculinity and it threatened a part of that. Really pointed out, though, the toxicity behind a lot of American men.
The crazy thing, though, I've seen Bud Light Pride cans before this, and no one ever got that upset.
I mean, I think it goes to show the moment that we're having right now in anti-transness, especially because, you know, a lot of people have been saying the rhetoric around the anti-trans movement and the conservative, like, hatred of trans people is very similar to the way that people hated, like, cis gay people in the 70s. People are coming around very quickly to Pride. You know, they're okay. I mean, you have your people that want to take back the rainbow, but for the most part, you know, people are okay with white cis gay men, but, you know, trans people are becoming the new boogeyman of the right, and this just gave them another opportunity to get mad over something.
Well, there you have it, folks. That's the top five scandals of 2023 so far. You know, a little bit of fun coverage for Pride, the end of Pride Month.
Well, real quick, before we wrap, did you want to do a prediction on what the next scandal will be? Because I've got some ideas.
I'll pitch one or two, sure.
Well, first of all, I think that the right is going to start boycotting SeaWorld because of the fact that porpoises are very gay. I think they're going to learn that dolphins especially partake in gay sex a lot for pleasure. And they're just not going to have it. They're going to picket and protest until all of the whales are set free.
I think that the far right is going to start boycotting heavy metal even more. So there's a history with metal of it being considered demonic or devilish. And then there are a bunch of Christian metal groups now. But it's also, I went to a Necrogoblicon show at El Corazon the other week. It's one of the most inclusive and diverse groups of people that I've ever been a part of, you know? There's a lot of like queer metal artists that I've been listening to and that we've talked about. And I think that there's going to be a resurgence of satanic panic for metal and maybe D&D because of the sheer number of queer people that take part in these things. So they're going to bring back the 80s, essentially.
Yeah, I like that. I think that'll definitely be a movement. The 80s are coming back in so many ways. I think so many ways that aren't good.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we are going to see a conservative celebrity come out as queer and people are going to cancel them. Somebody like Chris Pratt. You know, he's been gay the whole time.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you've already got Milo Yiannopoulos.
My dad named his dog after that guy.
Okay. Wonderful. I think that the next consumable is going to be like some sort of food that is associated with like an American pastime.
Oh, yeah. Hot
like
dogs.
Hot dog brands or something like Coney Island dogs or some like they're going to be like hot dogs at a theme park. Gay, you know, so some influencer is going to get a like some brand deal with Hebrew National or something. It's going to be ugly.
Absolutely. They're going to cancel Ballpark Franks so quickly.
All beef Ballpark Franks. The Costco hot dog is going to go up to $1.69. And then people are going to be like, gay.
Absolutely.
All right, folks. Well, we've had fun here, but it is unfortunately time to head out. This will, again, be my last episode. I want to thank all of our listeners, and I want to thank all of our readers over the years and the community that came out for Pride and for showing the SGN so much support. It has been a privilege to be a part of this project, and though my time here was cut shorter than I expected, I am incredibly grateful for the opportunity that it has afforded me and the experience that I've gotten to be the acting editor-in-chief of any sort of newspaper at age 26 is remarkable and astounding, especially one with as deep a history in the Seattle area as this one. So thank you so much. And you can find me online at aveichenbaum.com. You can also check me out on Instagram if you would like, or any social media at Photon Detective. But yeah, that's it for me.
We're going to miss you a lot. You've been so integral to our paper. And I know, I mean, I hope I speak for all our listeners. I speak for myself and Patricia. You have greatly changed my life. And I am so thankful for your mentorship.
Well, hey, bud, you don't have to suck up to me anymore. I'm not your boss.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to miss you too. But, you know, sometimes it's just time to move on. You can find me at my next gig. I'm going to be working at Couth Buzzard Books, which is a community-operated book cafe. I just got the job offered today, and it's something that gives back to the community, which is very important to me in terms of what I do for a living. So if you want a book rec, come on down. I'll make you a cup of coffee, and we can just shoot the shit. Thank you so much for listening. And do you want to say it, Lindsay?
See you in the funny pages.
Radio SGN is hosted by A.V. Eichenbaum and Lindsay Anderson, and produced by A.V. Eichenbaum. Music for this show is provided by T.R.G. Banks and Jesse Spillane, or was provided for free by Anchor. Thank you so much for listening. Check us out on sgn.org or wherever you find podcasts. This podcast is part of the Seattle Gay News Podcasting Network.